Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome B-Tech Smith and Steve Mex. B-Tech Smith and Steve Mex, you are now entering the Mega Color. The Mega Color.
Oh, the MegaCast is back. Man, it's been a bit since we've talked, Ted.
Yeah, man, what's it been, like 2 or 3 weeks?
It feels like even longer.
Yeah, it does.
We had a couple weeks off for Burning Man, then we came back, and then we missed last week.
Yeah.
Because last week was just like yet another sad thing in my world, man. It's like we had my wife had a funeral for her grandma, a great-grandma,
which was...
Yeah,
I don't know how much you've talked about it on BJ and Migs, but it's been a tough time for our boy Migs.
Yeah, you know, like we were saying right before we started this podcast, it's like there's been a lot of awesome, amazing things that have been going on in the last month, but sprinkled in here and there, and the heaviness of death and sadness will trump any awesome things that go on, even if it's like a month's worth of awesomeness. One day of sadness will just completely like wash all that away. And that's kind of what's been going on. It's been crazy.
Yeah, man. So you have that stuff going on. And then you have all the awesome stuff, which is the opportunities. Like earlier today, I walked in there just like, Steve, when are you sleeping?
And I looked at Ted and I go, I don't know. I don't think I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at Twitter at night and you're out still doing just stuff. And I'm like, I think I'm going to take a shower and go to bed. God, man, this guy's burning. And then I know, unfortunately, you've had the personal stuff going on, too. So I'm just like, seriously, like, I don't think the poor man's sleeping.
There hasn't been a lot of sleep recently. And it's been, you know, it's been weird. It's been weird. Like I said, lots of super, super highs. But the lows of, as anyone knows, when you're dealing with people who are leaving this world, it's not fun. And especially for my wife and her family. It was, man, we're not going to make this a sad podcast. Don't worry. For those that are listening, Mega family, we're going to keep it up. But it was crazy because, like, my wife, this is her second funeral that she's ever attended. And both happened within a week of each other. Grandpa, great grandma. And I'm like, damn, you just got thrown into the fire. And the second one, which was the great grandma, you know, I've told her about open casket funerals and how awful they are, and I wish there needs to be like laws against them because it's just devastating. I don't know anybody that gets any kind of fulfillment from seeing the person lying in the coffin.
Well,
you do?
Not at the funeral so much, but I do. I don't want to say enjoy. I like kind of the closure of seeing them in the funeral home.
Okay,
you know?
I could see that.
Like I had a buddy that died when we were younger. Me and Bernie, like our buddy Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when we went to the funeral home, like, it was closed the whole time. And then, like, once his immediate family left because they didn't want to open it, I don't know, me and Bernie just had to. Like, we had to see Joe.
Wait, you opened it?
Well, I mean, we got them to open it.
I was like, wait,
we didn't just break in and pop it open.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plot to a really dark comedy.
They were just like, hey, if anybody really wants to see him, like, if you wait around, you know, it's like his mom and stuff didn't want to see him.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it was. Me and Bernie had to. Same thing with like my grandma. I remember when I was a kid when she died, and like we were there, and they were like, you know, you don't have to go in and see her, this and that. But eventually, you decide. I don't know. I just kind of am drawn to it and want the closure. Now, the open casket for the entire funeral, I probably could do without.
Yeah, because it just looks like they're sleeping through the ceremony,
and you have no choice at that point.
You do everything in your power not to look. I felt bad for Sid because she walks in and she didn't. There was no warning. It's not like anyone said to her, hey, just to let you know. And like I said, the only funeral that she has ever experienced was her grandfather. And it was a military funeral. So it was closed and it was outside and it was beautiful with the guns going off and all that kind of stuff. So that's all she knows. Well, we literally walk into the chapel and straight line of sight. It's maybe like 100 feet away, not actually less than that, probably like 50 or 60 feet away. Casket open, great grandma's head. And Sid just goes, oh no, and turns around. I'm not going in. And I'm like, you gotta go in. She's like, they didn't tell me that. And I'm like, I know, I understand.
Somebody should have hipped you guys to that.
100%.
I got to say that. Like, I don't want to start any riff,
right.
But somebody should have said, hey, by the way, this is an open casket funeral.
Heads up. Oh, that's not the right term. But
heads up, Steve.
I know. Stop it. Warning.
Warning.
And then at the end, of course, they have like the opportunity, like they go pew by pew and they're like, hey, does anyone want to go up there and say your last thing? And some people didn't. So it's like, I'm not doing that. I'm like, don't worry. We'll go right when everyone else is going left. We'll go out the door and we don't have to worry about it. And which was, I think, good for her, you know.
But yeah.
But man, yeah, if you're not expecting that, that's heavy. That's trippy.
Well, and the other problem is like, as much as I say it's like good for closure for me, it's definitely an image that gets burned into your head.
Yes.
Like my grandmother, Celie, I mean, Grandma Smith, she died when I was in grade school or middle school. So, I mean, it's been years. So, like, picturing her is kind of hard in my head. But even us having this conversation right now, I could picture her sitting in the coffin.
So,
I mean, you're right. Like, that image sticks with you forever.
Have you ever had to do, I don't know, because maybe you've had it as well, but part of, like, the family, I don't know if it's family tradition or if it's from the Catholic religion, something that we did when it was an open casket. You all went, paid your respect, and then you kissed the forehead.
Oof.
That is the, like you say, certain images are forever inside your head. Mine as well for my grandpa, but also the sensation of kissing his forehead, and it was cold.
Yeah.
And it's like a feeling that you'll never get out of your head. And I remember telling Sid that, and she's like, thank God I didn't have to deal with that. But it was weird because
that sounds like an old evil Catholic thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Dude, I was like, I'll never do that again. I'll fake it. I'll lean over and be like, but I ain't touching, because it was... It's a feeling that I still to this day, like, will have dreams and vividly remember the visual and the sensation of kissing my grandpa's forehead. And he didn't look like how he's supposed to look. At least with her great grandma, she looked pretty much the same. Like Sid said, it was weird because it looked like she was asleep. And when someone's 101 years old, she would go visit her a lot and she'd look asleep. So she's like, there were a few moments during this, I just kept expecting her to open up her eyes and like pop up. And like, I'm like, dude, that would have tripped everybody out.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, that's natural. Like, yeah. I mean, I remember as a kid having that thought, but I think even as an adult, like it's just such a thing. You know what I mean? That like this person has passed.
Yeah.
In your head, you know, you're not going to see him again, but then to see their body,
right.
Like you can't help it. Your mind kind of plays tricks on you. It's like, well, maybe something will happen.
Yeah, I know. You just don't know. Like, is something going to click? But it was beautiful. It was a great ceremony. And, I
should have given you though a little bit of a warning.
Yes.
That's, I mean, you need to know that.
Yeah.
Also, it's like if you go to a wedding and like nobody warned you that's going to be a full Catholic mass along with the wedding.
Oh.
You got to give people warnings.
Yeah. Because you need to let them know if they should bring 5-hour energy with them.
Yeah.
That is the Catholic weddings are the worst.
Right. It's like when you go to somebody's house and it's like, hey, there's kids there. Don't curse, sir.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, these are just social cues.
Ted, don't show up stoned, please.
Yeah, exactly.
The kids are going to be here.
Yeah, no worries. I just won't be there.
Right. I'll just eat an edible. Right. You won't smell anything.
Right. Wait, are you saying don't show up stoned, or are you saying don't smoke in front of the kids?
Right, because there's two different things.
Yeah.
I've got capsules now.
Yeah, right? It's 2015.
You know, let's get things going. Let's turn things around, Ted. Let's have a fun megacast. I think it's time. I know I need it, and I feel like there's probably a lot of people in the Mega family that need it as well. We need the Ted Smith energy.
Oh, I got you today, man.
I'm pumped.
I got you,
I'm
man.
Pumped. So let's
Steve,
get Ted.
We're like a couple out on a night. Steve, we're going to have fun.
Yes. I don't know if I want to have fun. I want to be sad, Ted.
Look, we're going to go to that place you like. We're going to get you the appetizer. We're going to have fun tonight.
We're going to get Din Tai Fung.
We're going to, you know what? You want some dumplings? We're going to get you some freaking dumplings.
I love that the acronym for Din Tai Fung is DTF.
DTF.
You think they did that on purpose?
Din Tai Fung.
Yes.
Because that's the last thing you are after you eat that stuff, though.
No.
Right? You hammer down a bunch of those, you are not DTF.
No. But in about 20, 30 minutes, you're DTF for Din Tai Fung again, though.
Yeah, exactly.
I want more dumplings now. I'm not hungry right now, but in like 20 minutes, I'm going to be starving.
Yeah, it's like sushi.
Absolutely. 100% like sushi. I just tried the Migs roll. They got the new Migs roll now.
Son of a bitch. All right, let's get these push-ups, because there's so much cool stuff we got
to
talk about.
So much awesome stuff to go on.
Migs blowing up.
Oh, it's crazy, Ted. All right, let's get the heart race and the blood pumping.
They discontinued my sandwich.
Which is bullcrap, because that sandwich was delicious.
Yeah.
What do we got to do today with the brain?
Functioning, Steve. Right. We got to get this brain functioning.
All right, let's get some push-ups. Let's get 10. It's been a while. I haven't done a lot of push-ups recently, so hopefully I can power through these 10.
I was thinking about that too, man. Yeah. I had a wicked cold last week. Yeah. I haven't done anything.
I've been too tired. I would always try and get at least 50 in a day, and now it's like zero. I don't remember the last time I did push-ups. Probably the last time we did a megacast.
Dude, I haven't even watched the guy do push-ups.
Well, because usually you're on YouTube watching dudes do push-ups.
Yeah, or at least walking down the street like, oh, hey, what's in there? This guy's doing push-ups?
Show me some push-ups, man. Well, Rick sent us a tweet and just sent us a link and said, in honor of the pictures that I've seen of me, I think this is the best song to get 10 to. And you'll understand when you hear the song. It's paining me to even play it, though.
I'm too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave.
It's because I did a fashion show.
Oh, yeah. I forgot you did that.
I guess we'll talk about that after we get 10.
Yeah, we are.
All right, let's get 10, everybody. To Right Said Fred.
For my shirt.
Too ready?
For my shirt.
Here we go.
Too sexy.
One. Two. And three. I'm too sexy four. For my land. Five.
Too sexy
six,
for my land.
Seven.
New York and
eight,
Japan.
Nine.
I'm a model, you know what I mean, and I do my little turn on the catwalk.
Yeah, I don't think I saw pictures of you fashioning stuff, Steve.
You haven't?
No.
Oh, okay, hold on.
My little turn on the catwalk.
So, to catch people up, since we've last talked, Steve now is a fashion model.
Yes.
He's playing in a new band where they make songs for Seahawks.
Yes.
I saw him down at Joint Base Lewis McCord doing awesome stuff.
Yep.
What else? Oh, wow, Steve. That's like a full-on fashion show.
Right.
Hey, let me see that again.
There's like a runway, people taking pictures.
Nice Decepticon in the front row with blonde hair.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wow. Where was this?
At the those two apartment complexes right in the north parking lot at Safeco at CenturyLink Field?
Sure.
Like there's the one that's super tall and glassy,
yeah.
But then there's like the little smaller younger brother that looks a little bit more like old and like kind of like has like a cool charm to it, like brick looking.
Yeah.
It was on the top of that building.
Okay.
Which was unbelievable. Like what a great view. So like that's going on. Remember Wands from the Macklemore song? He was performing up there.
All right.
It was just, I got hit up because, you know, Luke Wilson, it was doing it mostly for a fashion show for like Lady 12 Apparel, which is Joe Tafoya and his wife, Brandilyn. They created this apparel and
all right.
It's all over like in different like supermarkets. It's blowing up.
Do I have to remind you are not a lady?
Yes, right. So they're like, hey, do you want to be a part of this Lady 12 Apparel fashion show? I'm like, why? I'm not a lady. Well, they're like, no, we also want to show off some of Luke Wilson's gear and be cool if you could do it. And I'm like, all right, fine. So it's me, a bunch of like King 5 personalities are there.
All right.
There's a smoke show of a chick that was there. She was on the X Factor. She was one of the models. Lacey Ryan.
All right. Ooh. Lacey's a hot name.
And dude.
Lacey Undeross.
Lacey Ryan is like,
All right.
Super hot. Super nice girl too from Spokane.
All right.
So I'm like, okay.
The 509, pumping them out.
They always do.
Yeah, man. Diamonds in the rough.
So I'll show you this other picture that's, and these are all on my blog. If you just do some searching, you'll find them. Where is it? This one is great because, if I can find it. So they put us all in order and they're like, okay, Steve, you're right here. So like others, like Mark Wright from King 5, Wands is doing it. So who's in front of me? And they're like, okay, each person goes out. And I'm terrified. I'm like, I don't even know if people know who I am. This is just a bunch of chicks for the most part that are here.
Yeah.
There's some Seahawks fans. I'm hoping maybe the husbands or the boyfriends know me. But
Seahawks fans know Steve Miggs.
I would hope. But for all I know, I might be just walking down a runway where nobody is excited to see me.
All right.
Know what I mean? And who did they put in front of me? And I even said, you had to put him in front of me? I'm effed. Jason from The Bachelor. Jason Mesnick, who lives here.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they're like... So I'm like, this guy...
Steve, that guy's good looking enough that it makes you look better.
You know, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's quite the compliment.
Right, because it's
if you can make me look good...
Well, I'm just saying, like, it's like a bunch of male models, and it's like, yeah, it's not like you stick out in that group. It's not like, oh, look at the random radio dude.
Wait, why? Well, that's where I go. I go, you're putting The Bachelor, and then you're putting Shrek after him.
Are you wearing makeup?
Yes.
All right. All right. Hey, no, yes. No worries. I've worn makeup with you on New Day Northwest.
Similar kind of makeup, just a bunch of powder. Over.
No, you got a nice glow. That's what I was like, oh, I wonder if he's makeup or if he went and got a tan.
Yeah, so it was kind of weird, man. It was weird.
Are you going to start tanning now? Do I have to worry about that?
A GTL at the DTF, man.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Ted Talks, starring B-Tech Smith.
Well, speaking of Steve being a model and stuff.
That's right, man. Too sexy for my shirt.
Yeah. Today's TED Talk is about the changing of the seasons. Basically, what I want you to do is kind of picture yourself as a plant or some type of animal.
Mm.
Now, fall is here.
I'm a cactus.
All right. God damn it, Steve. I don't know how much cactuses change during the season. Why would you pick one plant like that? All right, Steve the cactus.
I'm that guy. This makes your life miserable. When you're a model like me, Ted, you want to be a cactus. Make it work.
He's going to cactus all over his office and stuff. Basically, here's the deal. Wintertime is around the corner. Not only wintertime is around the corner, but one of my favorite times of year, Christmas. The holiday seasons will be around the corner.
A.K.A. Ted's birthday as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So what I want to remind people today is, like I'm saying, like just think of yourself as like, I don't know, maybe that black bear out there foraging supplies. Or maybe you're like a plant, you know, like you've been blooming all summer. You've been having a blast. You've been out there doing stuff. So now it's time to maybe... Maybe take it down a notch.
Uh-huh.
Maybe cool out a little bit, you know, maybe, you know, and I want you to kind of line things up so that when you get to the craziness that is December and everything else, you can cruise through and have fun. But, you know, take a little extra time, you know, take care of yourself.
Mm.
I know for myself, I got to start doing more push-ups again. My cardio's been lacking.
I'm with you.
Yeah, so just that kind of stuff, you know, it's fall, just kind of, take into account what you got going on. And, you know, just make sure you're good heading into winter.
I like it.
Because, you know, once you get past Christmas and stuff, you're going to have those days in January and February where you ain't doing crap. You're eating crappy food, you know. So
that's a good point.
Right. So you put on a couple pounds, you get a lot out of shape then. That's one thing. But if you roll in there already getting out of shape, it's going to pile up quick.
If you're getting in there around Thanksgiving time and you haven't been working on your cardio.
Yeah. You're not turning that around.
You know what? You might as well just get a couple extra sizes of jeans.
Yeah. Just plan on that shirt staying on till August.
Yeah. Wear that hoodie. All right. Well, why don't we take a break? You mentioned the military experience. I have to tell you what went down there because for the first time in my life, I shot a gun.
Wow.
Right.
Oh, man. I want to get down there so bad.
Let's do it, man.
All right. We'll talk.
100%, I know they would love to have you there.
All right.
I'm positive of it. So one of these days where maybe you're not working, we'll figure it out and we could kind of do one of those things where we swing by and they could show us the ropes.
Well, it's always a good day when you throw a little lead down range.
Dude, I'm with you. And we'll get into that when the Megacast returns.
B-Tech Smith and Steve will keep you company as you drive. The Megacast will be back.
You can drive.
So I'm number one on leadership. I'm number one on the economy. Number one on job creation. I'm number one on all these categories.
In his past life, he was himself. He gave his father a talk. Your guess is as good as his. On second thought, no, it's not. It has never been his bad. He lives vicariously through himself. He is the most irritating man in the world.
If I'm so high in all these categories, why do we even have to have an election, right? Why? Why? I'm really rich.
The Megacast is back. And they be on it. They can get on this, if you know what I mean.
I be like, who that? She a little thug. She be rapping like she Tupac. All I need is gold teeth to go with this Tupac. Trying to pull up in the ghost on these bitches like booyah. I don't gangbang, but I get your whole crew at. Strip nigga in the naked, I'm like, how you wanna do that? Bitches, they be trippin', we gotta keep a shoe strap. Hey, Naz, is it in the
I don't gangbang either, Ted.
But no more for me.
Yeah, but I do shoot guns now.
Man, that's crazy. What kind of gun?
That's me.
That's a saw, right?
What's that?
Is that a saw?
Let me see what exactly it is. The guy in the military, he texted me. He's like, hey, I'm sure you're going to want to talk about this, so you probably want to know what exactly you were shooting.
Isn't that like the saw's like that big machine gun they have in like the platoons and stuff?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Outside of the rifles.
He didn't use that name. Where the hell is his...
Steve, I know all the lingo.
Yeah, you sure do, Ted. I thought I had his... I shot
an AK-47 once. That was pretty fun.
Dude, so yeah, we go to JBLM, and it's a... Man, I wish you were there for this, because I know you would have thrived in this situation. It was an opportunity. They wanted to put together an event for soldiers that suffer from PTSD and other soldiers, too. It didn't have to just be those. Basically, a morale booster. Bring some people down. So, Joe Tafoya, former Seahawk, he does a lot of stuff, like I mentioned earlier, with his wife. And man, that guy, without sounding like I'm like man-crushing on a dude, because he's a good dude, but the dude is doing so much to build a great fan community. And how often do you hear of a former player being that active with fans? You know what I mean? Like, he does a lot with boosters. He does a lot with... There were a bunch of fans that showed up as well. And it's like, man, this guy is like the Pied Piper of Seahawk fans. Like, he's really leading the charge. And I think has done a lot of great things for the community by doing so.
Well, I think, too, like, people from the outside can always kind of hate on the Seahawks fans. And be like, they're, you know, it's a lot of bandwagon people and stuff, too. But... That's one view of it. The other view is, I like what Joe's doing there. It's like, you got all these people. Not that football doesn't have its place in society.
Right.
But at a certain point, it's like, wait a minute. We got all these people together, united. Like, we could use them for good, too.
Exactly.
For other stuff.
So you got him. He went down. Jordan Babineau. Big play, right. Babs. That was pretty cool. I never met him before. What a great guy. You might remember Reggie Jones played with the Saints. He's from around here.
Yeah.
Won the Super Bowl with them. He spoke in front of everybody. Had a great speech. I love this guy, and he was super cool. Actually, we're going to have him on BJ and Migs tomorrow on Thursday morning. Lance Easley. You might not know the name, but you remember him.
Kicker?
No. Replacement ref that called it a touchdown.
Oh.
That guy.
Against the Packers.
Yeah, who might have been the most popular guy there, because you're in a room of Seahawk fans. And here's the guy who did. I'm like, and I'm even joking with him. I'm like, whole different reaction if you were doing this in Green Bay, I'd imagine. He's like, yeah, they kind of gotten past it, but yeah, definitely different.
Oh, he blew that call.
Yeah.
There's no way around it.
Man, it's been his story's pretty crazy about all of it, like dealing with some PTSD from it. He's a former Marine. Yeah.
Plus, I mean, right, people are crazy. I was going to say death threats and this and that. And
he's just a dude who made a mistake. I mean, you know, I'm sure some people believe he didn't, but regardless, mistake or not, I'm kind of on your side. I don't know if that was a touchdown, but as a Seahawk fan, I'm okay with it. But man, who's giving a guy death threats? It's a stupid sport at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, that's the downside of sports.
The passion.
Yeah. I mean, fan is just from fanatic.
You're right.
So
100% right.
Yeah, you're going to get those people.
So we all go down there, do a whole bunch of, like, have a lunch. They have some guys jumping out of a Blackhawk. That was pretty amazing.
Was it a catered lunch or just standard?
Hot dogs and hamburgers.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I'm always up for a good hot dog. I cut myself off because I know someone's going to manipulate that audio.
Oh.
I'm always a fan of a good hot dog.
No worries, man. I love hot dogs.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Hot dogs. I mean, to me, like, if you're having an event and you guys obviously were outside, like, the hot dogs and hamburgers are just a home run.
It's perfect.
I mean, you could have hot dogs and hamburgers for every tailgate you go to, and it's going to be fine.
It's not a disappointment. It's
right.
Hot dogs again?
Yeah.
What's your take, though? Do you like your hot dogs burnt, or do you like your hot dogs just cooked properly?
Oh, I like them a little burnt.
I was fishing for the most burnt ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Dude, like, my cousin Tim, he cooks hot dogs so he's cooking steaks. Like, how do you like it? Like, this and that. Yeah, it's a whole process.
I want it black, man.
Basically, right, with the Smiths, it's an argument of who gets the blackest one.
Oh, I could, yeah, I'll eat it if it's fully.
But, I mean, I do it at home. Even when I cook, like, chicken sausages on my grill.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think for most people's taste, you'd be like, Jesus, man, you burnt the hell out of these. But I'm like, these are right.
No, that's exactly how I like it, too. It's Cajun style.
Yeah, exactly, right? Blackened.
Did you give
a speech?
No, I was terrified because the Reggie Jones guy, he gave a speech and then he handed it over to the Lance guy, and I'm like, oh crap, are they just passing the buck? Because I'm like next to them, and I'm like, I have nothing prepared to say, and so no, I did not. Thankfully, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
I've given a speech down there
at JBLM.
Yeah.
Oh, man, see, I wish you were there for that. You could have had that opportunity. It
I gave
great.
A speech to a bunch of, what do you call guys in the Air Force?
Air Force?
But what are they? Airmen.
Okay.
So a bunch of airmen that were cycling out of the Air Force, and they bring in somebody from the outside to, like, give a speech. It was crazy, man. I gave a speech.
How long was your speech?
45 minutes.
Whoa. You talked for 45 minutes?
I talked for about a solid half hour and then did a little Q&A to the point that they were like, all right.
How would the Q&A go?
Excellent. Guys had questions. But it's crazy, dude. It's me at a podium and then all the state flags behind me. You know, it was set up like a... You know, like a big deal.
You look like a president.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. Freaking awesome. And
we were just outside in the dirt.
Oh, sorry, Steve.
Yeah.
I didn't get to shoot any guns, though.
Oh, yeah. That's why I got some Mike, one of the guys there, which was awesome because I'm around a bunch of Seahawks. And Mike, you know, and I'm like, oh, man, is anyone going to know who the hell I am? I don't know.
Right.
And I was like, I'm here just to bring goodwill. So I was like, if even one person recognizes me, success story. First guy. Holy crap, it's Steve Miggs. It's your birthday this Saturday.
Nice.
Instant cred amongst all the other, like the players and the ref guy and all. They were all just like, oh, he's coming just to you. He doesn't even care about us. So that was pretty awesome.
That's awesome.
So Mike, he texted me. He goes, just want to let you know the guns in case you didn't know what the names of them were. So that one where I was playing, that was an M240 Bravo, the big one. Then an M4, that was a rifle that had an awesome scope. I was dominating with that one. I was capping heads off of the targets.
All right.
And then a Glock, which I wasn't all that great with at first.
Glock's a great weapon, though.
Yeah, oh, unbelievable. Just holding it was, dude, like I said, I've never shot a gun in my entire life.
Never?
No, I just never. And it's not like any kind of, I don't have any political reasons. I'm not for or against. I don't care. It's just not my world. I'm not going to I don't ever have an opportunity to shoot a gun. It's not like any of my buddies are like, hey, let's go shoot guns, you know?
So, I've shot guns with Ben and his dad. Because his dad. You know what? Here's the deal. I'm not getting into a whole thing with guns.
Right.
I get both sides of arguments and everything else.
I have a feeling we might be on the same side.
But now that you've shot some guns and some rifles, the problem with guns... This will sound terrible, but nobody thinks about the fun factor. Like, when you go to the gun range, man, it's fun.
Yeah.
You know, it changed my view of guns to actually hold one correctly and use proper safety and this and that and shoot it.
It's an incredible feeling, man.
Yeah.
And when I walked in and then one of the guys in the middle, it was Amanda, that girl, man, she could shoot. Like, she's also, I think she's like the security for the chaplain.
Okay.
So, you know, she looks super sweet. Very pretty. Would never think that she's like a ass kicking machine, but obviously she must be. She's like taking care of and protecting people.
All right.
But I was talking with all of them and I'm like, yeah, I've never shot a gun before. And like, oh, you have to do it. Like, don't pass up this opportunity. I'm like, all right. So then they're like, well, which gun do you want to shoot? I'm like, this is my first time ever shooting a gun. I want to shoot the biggest gun here.
That a boy.
Right. So then I lie down on the ground. And
oh, but you were in the prone position.
Oh, yeah.
That a boy.
Oh, dude. Had it on my shoulder, feeling that kickback, the heat of the gun.
Was it on a tripod?
Yeah.
All right.
Although, Jordan Babin, I was like, could I shoot it while standing? And they're like, yeah, put these gloves on, though, because it gets hot. And he held it, and he looked like freaking Rambo, man. Just,
I bet.
Oh, like, I was nervous. I'm like, I don't know if I want to try that. Because then another guy tried it, and it kicked him back. And he started shooting in the air. I'm like, that's why I'm not doing that.
No, stay laying down.
Right. I was like, I'm not pushing it. So then after that, I shot the Glock, and then I shot the rifle. I learned that I'm a...
Did you stand up for the Glock?
Yeah. Stood up, and they had some targets to shoot. At first, I was not hitting them. I was close. But then finally, when I locked in the whole aiming thing and
the sights,
then I was nailing them.
And yeah, I'm terrible with a handgun too, man.
Yeah,
I could shoot a rifle, but yeah, well, rifles are a little bit easier, I think.
I agree
because you can line them up and they have. Just shooting handguns, I'm brutal at.
Oh, dude, I would be if it was in the middle of a gunfight, I'd lose.
You know, like the Dirty Harry, like .44,
yes,
with like the long barrel.
Yeah.
So like Ben's dad had one of those, and we went to a range. Thankfully. It's an outdoor range with grass.
Okay.
And he's like, hey, just a heads up, that thing kicks pretty bad. Like, all right. So I go and fire 6 rounds, and there's not a single one in the target, Steve. And we're like, where are they? And they were all right in the ground because I was so worried about the kickback. I was pointing it forward and shooting the damn ground.
So you're hoping as the kicks back, it then shoots where it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was overcompensating quite a bit. Like, he kept going, put it down, put it up, whatever.
Yeah.
It's so weird, man. Like, I'm sure for those that listen that have shotguns, like, whatever. But it was, like, I was over, I think I was expecting way worse of a kickback.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm like super stiff. Even with the Glock, I'm like afraid that it's going to fly back and hit me in the face.
I'm always afraid I'm going to lose that hunk of skin where I'm holding it.
Yeah.
You know, when the chamber comes back or well, whatever.
The one that was crazy when I was lying down, when those bullets come out, they're coming out hot. Like,
oh, red, fire hot.
Right. So like I'm shooting and I put my elbow down on one that just landed and it's like, I'm like, oh. And I look at one of my buddies who I met there and he shows me his forearm because he did it standing up. And the bullets were flying, and he had like little mini welts all over his arm.
Where they were hitting him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy. It's fun watching some of the guys, like the replacement ref, Lance Easley. He's a former Marine. So at first, I'm like, oh, let me see how he does it. I filmed him in slow motion, and he was just doing it like a boss.
Yeah, I bet.
I wish I could post some of these pictures, but we got word like the people that helped put it on, not the people in the military, but they're like, hey, hold off. Don't put any of the pictures up for security reasons, whatever it may be. But I was like, all right.
Yeah, and that's good too.
Yeah.
Because here's the other thing. So what if maybe they're not supposed to let you shoot all the guns and stuff? Like, I don't want you and Lance Easley posting all this picture. So then when I go down, I can't shoot a gun.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
you don't want to screw up your day.
No. I want to get down there and sneak in with the strikers, though, and shoot that 50.
Oh, dude, right?
Yeah.
It's a, the power you feel. It's like, I learned something. I'm a righty shot. I shoot righty, even though I'm a lefty with how I write. But
no
I play
kidding.
Hockey righty. I play everything but writing and eating, I do righty style. So I'm like, well, I shoot righty. But my eyes, my dominant eye is my left eye. So it was like practically impossible to aim. So finally with the rifle, the guy's like, look, I know you say you're a righty, but shoot it lefty. I know it's going to feel weird, but your eye, because he even asked me, he's like, all right, when you shoot, which eye do you close? I'm like, my right eye. He's like, yeah. Shoot lefty. When I did that, man, I was just great aim.
That's awesome.
So now I've learned if I'm ever in a gunfight, I'm shooting lefty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just call me lefty.
And something has gone terrible if we're in a gunfight.
Yeah.
Right. I'm as good as dead.
Well, I mean,
I just know that.
We're two dudes that don't carry guns. So in order for us to be in this gunfight, our opponents have to be so kind to loan us their guns.
Right. I mean, if we're in a gunfight to the point that we've already beaten somebody up and stolen their weapons, then I might feel okay. Because like everything's out the window. Like, what happened? Like, dude, I don't know. He beat the dude, took his gun, and then fired four perfect rounds in the dude's leg. Like, Ted? Like, yeah, man. Yeah. Like, it could be like Born Identity or something. Like, I don't even know what's going on. I'm just... Ugh.
You're right. Our adrenaline would make us superheroes.
Yeah. It'd be like San Francisco.
All over again.
All over again.
With no mushrooms this time. Or maybe some mushrooms this time. I don't know.
Man, mushrooms are so emotional. Like, yeah, you got in a gunfight. It's going to make everything emotional, bro.
Oh, man. So then after that, they let us drive around in these all-terrain vehicles. They had like these little, they had the M-Razors. I didn't have a chance to drive in one of those because I had to roll because I had to get back into town for the Chris Cornell thing. But I got to drive around like this little all-terrain vehicle thing, and that was kind of fun.
It
was
yeah.
It's just a fun experience. Like I've said to some other people I've been talking to about the experiences, like we went there to help boost their morale, but the opposite happened. They boosted our morale.
Sure.
The greatest people I've met. Such just good-hearted, interesting, friendly, appreciative people. They were like all of them kept coming up to me and saying, I'm not even supposed to be working. Like my shift ended. I was done at noon. But when I found out you guys were coming, I stuck around. And I'm so glad I did. I've been having a rough couple of weeks and this just made my day. And I'm like,
well, and the military people too, man, they're such a great audience because they just, you know, just what that job is, no matter what, you know, whatever branch you're in, it's just, they have to be so prepared. So they have to practice and they just do the same stuff. Over and
right.
over, day yeah. in and day out. So they're just the greatest audience in the world because they're just excited to see something different.
Right.
And then, right, like they just bring this awesome energy. And the other thing, too, is like they're sober. Like they're not out getting weight. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like the concerts and stuff you see, like they're going just as crazy, but like they're not even having beers.
Yeah.
Like they, you know what I mean? Like they're on the bass and stuff. So yeah, it's always great. Like that one time I went down and I gave that speech, it was a great experience.
Oh,
To be honest with you, I'm jealous of that because I'm hoping that I know with the men's room, we've been trying to do stuff and line it up.
When it's time to change.
We get a bloody nose. So yeah, I'd like to do more stuff down there too. Plus that facility. JBLM is just so massive.
Wait, I was about to say that I did not realize, and I've been there, But I've never realized how big it is.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
When I first got there, like, to get us all in, then I'm following them. So they're able to get my car onto the base, and I'm following a couple of the soldiers. And we're going down this. They're like, oh, cool, you got a Jeep, because we're going to go off-road for a little bit. And I'm like, off-road for a little bit? What the hell are we doing? And then the Lance guy had a car, but he had, like, a Mercedes. And they're like, you might want to ride with Steve. And Lance goes, it's a rental. I don't give a crap. So he's off-roading in a Mercedes, man. In a Mercedes.
That couldn't have been good.
It was great. I was like, I'm following you. I want to watch this. We're hitting some pots and, you know, bouncing and bumps. And yeah, I can only imagine when he returned that, they're like, what did you do?
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, I paid the insurance. So what does it matter? But yeah, it was, dude, it was unreal. A great experience. Hopefully you and I can do something like that. Or hopefully it's just shooting guns was fun, man. Shooting guns was fun.
Yeah, I want to get down there.
All right, well, let's take a quick break.
Yeah.
I forgot that we have an email address.
All right.
And we have a couple of emails.
All right, yeah, we'll read some emails.
All right, so we'll do that next.
We got to talk your birthday, too, man.
Yeah, yeah, big party going on. So yeah, man. We got to hit on that. Oh, sorry, I'm a little off today.
You got it, man. You're all right. You're doing all right over there.
Turning it around, Ted.
Turning it around.
Come on. Oh, there you go. Time, we'll be back.
There's going to be good.
Are you having a good time? Good time. I always do with Tech and Steve.
I know.
The Megacast will be back.
Good times. There's going to be some good times. Man, we used to pull up and let them fight at that hood time. Remember, I used to grab on that ass when it was about that wood time. It had to be walk up, trip, and she get that much time.
Tried Tinder. You swipe right many times, matched, and even met up. But every time, you end up in the dreaded friend zone. Why bother? Now, there's Friender. No costly drinks or dinners. No awkward moments of silence when you realize the girl you met off Tinder has absolutely no interest in the likes of you. And you get what every man desires. Hot, sexy, beautiful women who don't want to have sex with you. Friender gives you the opportunity to be that shoulder to cry on when that really hot guy treats her poorly. If you love ass out, back pat, side kiss, hugs, you'll love Friender. It's like friends with benefits. If the only benefit is friendship, awesome.
Go straight to the friend zone from your phone.
Friender, where FB doesn't stand for buddy, it stands for female buddy.
Friender.
We were made to thrive.
The Megacast is back.
Oh, thanks.
And ready to thrive.
We were made to thrive.
Actually, we were supposed to fly in one of those Blackhawks.
Ooh.
And then something happened where they were like, we can't do it, sorry. That would have been...
Yeah. That would have been next level.
Yeah, dude, it was like the whole day was like it was the super adult version of like an amusement park.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, the military stuff, even police stuff, even construction stuff, like as old as you get as a guy, it's still hard not to be interested in that stuff. If somebody said, hey, man, I have an excavator or whatever on my property. Do you want to dig a hole? I'd be like, yeah, I do. I kind of want to dig that hole with you.
Yeah, count me in.
Yeah. Yeah, that stuff's cool, man. You ever been in a helicopter?
No.
Yeah, I once when I was a kid at like the College Park Air Show, you could pay like $25 and take a quick ride in a helicopter. But being in a Black Hawk would be.
Yeah. It would be pretty awesome. I have such a sweet pic too that I wish I could post, but it's Mount Rainier looking beautiful as always. And the Black Hawk flies right in front of it. It's just like, it's like that could be like the cover of like a magazine or something.
Well, that's the only thing I was going to say. Like when I did that retreat, that meditation retreat for like 9 days. Like, it's down in the south end.
Uh-huh.
And it's not that far from the base. And you, like, I'm blown away, like, how many, like, night ops and stuff. Like, that's an active base. Like, those Blackhawks are flying around all the time. Like, there was one day, I was out in, like, this clearing. And I'm like, what is that sound? And like, I looked up and I swear to God, the guy like sitting in the side of the Blackhawk, it was like we made eye contact and we're just like looking at each other.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Well, even like when Reggie Jones was giving his motivational speech to all the soldiers, right when he hit like a really powerful moment talking about his family dynamic and some crazy stuff that happened in his life and how it was just about, you know what, you got to just, he called him, life is going to always throw hurdles at you, but what hurdles are meant to be jumped over. So no matter how bad life is, whenever you hit a hurdle, what do? You jump over it.
And jump it.
Right. So he's got this awesome speech going on. And right when he was getting into some heavy stuff, one of them starts to land and it's like, I can't hear you.
You can't hear a word.
Oh, I felt so bad for him because I'm like, oh man, how do you, you can't stop. You don't know how long this is going to take.
No.
Oh, it was awful. But yeah, here's that picture of, I mean, how cool is that? There's in the background, Mount Rainier and just one of those Blackhawks just flying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. Man, I can't stop geeking out about that. That's like up there as one of the cooler things I've ever been a part of.
Yeah, definitely.
And also because of what it brought to it. Brought a smile to those guys' face and those gals' face. Man.
Yeah, before you know it, Steve will be rappelling out of Blackhawk shooting machine guns.
In. Let's do this. For America, I'll do it. Let's talk about emails.
I'm picturing you, like, rappelling out of the Blackhawk, shooting, like, the rifle, and then, like, you finish that clip, you just throw the rifle, like, around your back, and then you, like, pull out your Glock, and now you're shooting, right? Just,
like, Rambo.
Just Ramboing it.
Steve Bo coming at you.
Steve Bo. And then when he gets to the ground, he drops all the weapons, and he walks straight into a fashion show.
Yes! It's like, boom, boom, ba 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 ba. And
I'm too sexy for my love. Too sexy.
I'm here for you guys. Love, what do you need?
To leave.
One thing we've learned on this podcast is that Steve Miggs can do whatever he wants.
That's right. If you put your mind to it, Ted, you can do it.
You can be a fashion model too.
Yes, you can. Too sexy for my shit. Oh no, wait, there's some problems going on, Ted. I'll take care of it. Get down.
I like the burst.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. What are we doing here?
Here, a random question with your back to your modeling days.
Yes, my modeling days, my now, one day modeling.
Obviously, I know it helps to be to get the fashion model gig that you work here.
Yeah.
At KSW. 100%.
Yeah, that's right. The only reason.
And you knew Luke Wilson. But it's been documented. You've dropped a bunch of weight over the years. Mm-hmm. And do you think if you were still at your old weight, they would have let you done it? Or you think they would have said no?
Yeah, I think they won't let me do it.
I'm like, how cruel is this fashion world?
I don't think it's very cruel at all. At least this fashion world. I don't think it was about, let's get, obviously they had some attractive people.
Yeah.
Both on the male and the female side. But then they had me.
All right.
And they had.
But I mean, like I said, you don't stick out in that crowd.
Thank you.
It's not like,
that.
Oh, there's the radio guy.
I said they had me get there early for hair and makeup. I'm like, can we cut that time in half? Because I don't need one of them.
Right. I just need the makeup.
Unless you're going to put hair on my head, then I'm more than happy to show up at 2:30.
I will say this about wearing makeup. Every opportunity I've had on TV, I wear the makeup.
You got to.
You have to.
Especially as a bald guy.
Yeah. You're just right. You'll just be shiny as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's no good for anybody.
Especially us two when we're on. We got to get back on New Day Northwest.
We do.
I'll hit up their producer and be like, look, the Megacast is ready.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, and I gotta start a new show too. But I thought you'd be the cohort, but you're so busy. I'm like, I'm not gonna bug him with this idea.
What's the new show?
I really want to do like
the TV thing.
Yeah,
dude, we gotta do it.
Yeah,
I'm in.
And I think it's just as simple as we gotta find a set and then just YouTube it.
Yeah,
and we'll just start from there.
And we have enough people that we know. I know a few camera guys. You know a few camera guys.
Yeah.
We know a bunch. Yeah. I think Megacast listeners, I think you'd enjoy like an online TV show.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, how long is we talking? Like a half hour show?
Tops.
Yeah. Maybe even like a 15 minute show.
Yeah. And we'll just interview some people.
Yeah.
Have people sit on the couch.
Do we have an animal segment?
Yeah, we could.
Yes.
Yeah.
We go to the zoo.
Go to the zoo. Right, that's the other thing. The show could be like there'll be adventures me and you take.
Yeah.
And then it might just be as simple as like one, you know what I mean? Like last night, that could be a segment.
Right.
Steve's at the Chris Cornell show.
The interview.
Right, exactly. Anything like that, yeah.
We could call it Ted and Steve are doing stuff.
Ted and Steve are doing stuff. And you know what our gimmick is? Is we have two desks. Like, nobody has to sit on the couch. It's like, it's a talk show with two goddamn desks.
I like it.
Right?
Well, dude, that's like yesterday. Like, I go into Chris Cornell's like little dressing room to go interview him.
All right.
And he's like got a two-person couch that he's sitting on. And then like a decent distance away, not like maybe like 4 or 5 feet away, there's a one-person couch. And I'm like, well, he's definitely not. And he doesn't want me sitting next to him. But I'm like, I only have one microphone and I've got to do the whole like I talk, then I point the microphone at him thing, you know? So I'm like, I got to be close to the guy. But it was very apparent he wasn't willing to, like, he was taking up both.
He sit in the middle of two cushions.
Pretty much.
So what did you do?
I just weaseled my way right in there with him. No, I sat in the other one and grabbed it and pulled it closer.
Okay.
I was like, I have to. I even asked him, like, is it okay if I move your, because, you know, I know that's just like, that's his little space.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's not his home, it's still, that's his home for the night. And I didn't want to disrespect him.
And it's like, pre-show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to put him in a bad mood before he goes out there.
I just kind of want to see you be like, oh, hey, Chris, let's scooch over a little bit.
Right? Come on, man. Make some room for me.
Was there teas, tapestries? What was going on backstage?
No, I walk in there. It's a small room in the Benaroya Hall that he was in, but he's just strumming his guitar, working out his set list.
Nice.
It was weird. I almost felt like I shouldn't bother him.
Yeah.
But I had to.
Yeah, you had to go sit on his couch.
I've got responsibilities. I like the idea of having two desks.
Two desks?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe put the couch in between.
Where are we going? We got to have the set somewhere. Do we have the set here at the station?
I don't think so.
All right, so then we need a studio.
Yeah, we're going to need a studio.
We need
Steve,
a budget.
This is the very early stages I've had this idea. Like, as you could tell, I have not hit Steve with this idea off the air yet.
I love it. Yeah. I'm in, dude.
Yeah.
I always got time for Ted. But yeah, we do some fun stuff, we film it, and we turn it into a TV show.
Yeah, exactly. And then, right, that's what I'm saying. It's, you know, with YouTube, I've been obsessed with YouTube the last, like, month and a half.
Yeah.
And I'm just, like, looking at all these people that start, and it's like, right, it's YouTube. You could start a show and just put it on there.
And the great thing with YouTube now, I mean, and I'm sure people are like, yeah, it's been around for a while, but I have a Roku, and the ability, I have the ability to hit a button on my phone that will automatically beam whatever I'm watching on YouTube to my Roku and then put it on my television.
on your TV,
so
yeah.
Sometimes when Sid passes out on the couch, I'll just find a funny video or something I'm interested in, and then I just go down that wormhole.
Yeah.
On my TV, though, which makes it so much more fun.
Yeah. Or just watching videos, even.
Ted and Steve doing stuff.
Doing stuff.
Mondays at 9. I don't know why at 9, but...
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. But that's what I'm working on. Yeah.
All right, well, let's talk.
Yeah.
Like, we never talk. Okay. Let's talk about emails.
Emails.
Yeah. All you have to do is send us an email at, it's themegacast@yahoo.com. We're on Twitter, of course, @themegacast. Please tell your friends about our podcast. Let them know. We'd love to have more listeners. We're doing this for free. We need people to listen. That way it's worth our time.
Yeah.
All right. Because we're doing stuff.
Last night on the podcast, I was giving Matt a hard time. Like, how come we aren't up for best podcast?
Right.
In the best of Western Washington. And I was like, God damn it, I'm sick of Migs. Like, obviously we're friends, but we're taking him down. Like, get us in there, this and that. And he goes, well, what about the Megacast? Are you guys going to put yourselves in? And I looked at him, I go, you know what? Let mom and dad worry about mom and dad stuff.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Just get our podcast up there.
Oh, man. Yeah, that whole... And there's two Migs casts that are in that are nominated.
Because somebody randomly nominated you?
I guess.
All right.
So it's like, people just vote for one of them, please. Don't vote for both. Splitting the votes. But all right. Well, I don't care, really. I just want to beat Burbank. I don't care what place they finish as long as it's ahead of Burbank.
I just want to beat you and the geeks.
All right. Well, fair enough.
I don't know why I have such disdain now for Geek Nation.
I don't know
it
either.
It started as a joke with the Rev.
But now you hate them.
Calling them geeks, right. And now it's really turned into like, I just got to beat those damn geeks.
You truly have become Ogre from the Alphabetas.
Nerds.
All right. First email. This is actually, we're finally going to get some resolution to something.
Oh, all right.
Stevie, our buddy Stevie, the Packers fan. The guy that we ran into at the WWE's Monday Night Raw.
Oh, up at Everett. At the Xfinity.
Remember, we had an issue where we weren't sure if we were supposed to get free beers or not?
Yeah, and then that guy bought them for us.
Right. Well, Stevie says, this is so great. We are such idiots.
All right, to reset the scene, right, we walked up, right, and he's like, hey, hang on a second. Didn't he say, I'll get you a beer?
He goes, we see him, his eyes light up. He's like, oh, yeah. And he goes, hold on, like that, like with the finger out, like, hold on. And then he turns around and he pulls out two Men's Room Original Reds and shows them to us.
Yeah.
And we're like, then we just, I don't know why, but it just felt like we were supposed to get those.
Yeah. I completely was like, oh, sweet. He's going to hook us up with a beer.
Right. All right. So Steve says, hey, Migs and Ted, I was showing off to you guys that we have Men's Room Red in the stand.
You spoiled bastards.
Right?
Basically.
You entitled asshats?
Yeah.
I wish I was giving you guys complimentary beers. I don't have that authority. I didn't mean to cause any confusion since I was just as confused as you. Oh, well. I'm glad you enjoyed those overpriced cookies, and I need to learn to take better pictures with a Droid phone. See you at Pain in the Grass. Oh, he said, that's one thing I realized. I haven't been checking the emails on our Megacast Yahoo
Steve,
account.
I've never even checked our Twitter, I don't think.
Yeah.
No, what, am I going to yell at you?
Right. How dare you, Steve?
You know what? This. Besides the TV
show. You were in the grass. That was like a month ago.
Jesus Christ. How do you think about that when you say
we've been
that?
Leaving him hanging all this time.
Oh, man. So besides starting a new talk show, we obviously need an assistant.
Yes.
Personal assistant.
Yeah, absolutely. Who's going to be our assistant?
You know, it's got to be some random, like, 21-year-old guy, like, with a name like Charlie, or...
Is it going guy, or should we go girl?
Well...
I feel like we could accomplish something. We could accomplish more with a chick.
The problem is, if we get a girl, eventually I'm going to try to bang her, and then we'll have to get a new one.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's get girls.
Yeah. Ted and Steve are doing stuff, and Ted's also doing our assistant.
Yeah, right. Like, there'll be those shows where it's like the assistant's on this show a lot. And it's like, why is she on so much? Like, because Ted's banging her. And then it'll be like,
she's gone.
Here's our new assistant. What happened to the old assistant? Like, well, again, Ted was banging her. So.
Right. Things got weird.
Right. The month changed, so he decided he was done with pumpkin spice.
Limited time only.
See you at Pain in the Grass. You too, Stevie. You too.
When did he send this? August 13th.
So, right after the incident.
Yeah, about a month and a half ago. Sorry, dude, it's just flooded with spam. I don't even know how. Probably because it's on our Twitter page, the email address, and those spam bots find it. But it's like, I have to, like, we had 180 emails. And I'm like, what? And then I realized two of them were actual emails for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, 178
pieces of spam. That's like my email here at work, right. After Burning Man, I took one day, and it took me over an hour to clean out my emails.
Yeah.
And I bet legit, maybe 30 of them were real. There was like 2,000 of them in there.
Dude, you know what I did this morning? I had a meltdown because, you know, I switched our email thing.
That thing is so creepy looking.
I don't like it anymore.
I couldn't even figure out how to send an email yesterday.
And not only that, our storage is less than it used to be. So when they made the switch, I was already like double over the limit.
Yeah, I get now what the other departments were talking about.
I do, too. So I couldn't send an email for a day, and I spent an entire day deleting emails to get it down, and it was not happening. Well, I had a meltdown this morning about it, and I just deleted all of my emails. And mind you, I've had over like 90 to 100,000 emails in my account, which is part of the problem because I don't always delete things. But since 2011, I've had emails saved, and I just said, F it. You know what? Today's the day. I'm starting fresh. Deleted them all. Went into the deleted folder before I emptied it and grabbed the last months of emails. So just September. Put them back in the inbox and gassed the rest of them. And everybody I've told looks at me like I'm insane, including our boss, who's like, I rely on you for saving emails. I delete things all the time because I know that you keep a paper trail. Not anymore.
Man, that's powerful, Steve.
Felt great.
I have a bunch. Yeah, my inbox, there's always a bunch of saved ones in there. Maybe, you know what? That Do happened it. To me because yesterday I signed in. As soon as I signed in, it said you can't send an email. And I was like,
you were over the minute.
And I was like, but my, like, I just emptied out these folders last week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. You know what's, you know what emails I save the most? If girls send pictures.
Uh-huh. You got to send them to like a different account now. You should build like Ted's pictures page.
And Ted's Pics page.
Ted's futureassistance.com.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. And then we save them and then we pick which ones you like and we ask them if they want to be our assistant for our new TV show.
Yeah. Qualifications for assistants. You've been a bikini barista or a stripper?
Yes. Or you like mudding.
Mudding?
Girls that like to get dirty are usually dirty.
All right.
You know what I mean? Like girls that like to dirt bike ride and mud. And I don't mean as a disrespect. I think it's awesome. But they're typically girls that like to have sex.
All right.
That's my opinion.
I'm in.
Yeah. So mudding, bikini baristas, or strippers.
Yep.
All right. One more email and we'll get out of here.
All three would be perfect.
This one's from our buddy Munson.
Oh, what up, Munson?
Yeah. He just sent this today. This is the reason why I was like,
why you checked it?
Yeah. He texted me. He goes, hey, I sent you guys an email. I'm like, oh, I better check him. He says, dudes, I was recently in a debate with someone where I was explaining a power move I enjoyed doing. Oh, man. Munson and his power moves are great. I've seen him do some of these. And
Munson, of course, from the Munson Says podcast.
Yes, which he hasn't done in a year.
Jesus, Munson, I try to get him a plug and he's not doing it.
Well, you know what? They're still out there.
All right.
So if you've never listened to them, you can enjoy them. We were on one.
Yeah, they're brand new to you.
Yeah, if you want to hear Ted and I curse.
A lot.
A lot. Listen to Munson's podcast. So he said, I have a power move that I enjoy doing, but my friends told me that I was out of line performing it, and I thought I would let you guys be the judge.
All right.
All right. The power move in question is when I'm driving and there's a merging lane. I will turn my blinker on and I will select my spot. I will be merging. But I stay in the lane that is ending, thus not allowing traffic behind me to drive up further and cut the next 6 to 8, maybe more cars in front of me as well. Let me know if you need further explanation. I will provide my poorly drawn diagram. The question, how early is acceptable to perform this power move? Many times there's no issue at the... There's no issue as the cars behind me aren't pleased, but they understand my intentions. However, sometimes you get a see you next Tuesday behind you that feels their time is worth more and in a bigger hurry than everyone else on the road, and they lose their stuff. These are the ones that make me smile inside and sleep better at night. However, I'm second guessing myself with how serious my accuser was in the debate. Keep in mind that the accuser is a giant wussy and doesn't like confrontation. Please also keep in mind that even when I'm doing something wrong, I convince myself I'm right. Let me know if you need further info on this extremely serious and life-changing topic. Thanks, from Munson.
So he's saying he's in a merge lane. Like he's getting onto the highway.
So he's in a lane that eventually is going to end and he needs to get over.
Okay.
So he picks his spot. He gets in and he refuses. What I'm visualizing is he doesn't fully get in, so he's still kind of in that merge lane, thus making it impossible for anyone behind him to scoot ahead of him and merge up ahead of him.
Why? Get over, Munson. Pick a damn lane and get in there.
He doesn't want people merging ahead of him, though.
Well, then he needs to drive all the way to the end of the lane,
right,
and then merge.
But then you're that guy. I hate.
I just don't understand his thinking here. So because I have to merge in, I'm refusing to. I mean, he's just stopping the flow of traffic. Not only do I think this is stupid, Munson, I think it's dangerous, and you're just causing a traffic. Like, and then he has the gall to call somebody else to see you next Tuesday. He's the guy that's being that. That's such a chick move. Well, I'm only going to stay here. I don't want anybody else to get in front of me. It's a total chick move. Not even a chick move, like an annoying chick move. God damn, order fries, bitch. You know you want to eat the fries.
All right, here's a question, because I see this happen a lot. You see people going all the way to the very end.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of a dick move.
All right.
Wait until that very last minute when everyone else is trying to get over as soon as possible. But there's always that one car, and it's not a car merging. So this is a guy that's already been in that lane, and he's watching cars pass him and pass him and pass him and then eventually merging in front of him. Eventually, that person gets pissed, scoots over to make it impossible for anyone to pass him. What do you think about that?
I think he's got more of a right than goddamn Munson's crap.
I love that it's his power move.
That's his power move? Like, oh, Munson, I love you, but man, I worry about you. I don't know what goes on in that head.
I know one of his other power moves. I'm curious to see what you think of this, because I love this one just because it's Munson being a troll, and I think that's exactly what he's doing there, too. He's just trying to ruffle some feathers, and I think it's very entertaining. Would I do it? Absolutely not. He likes to go to bars, and when he sees... You know, usually a group of girls, and the group of girls typically has at least one, possibly more, unattractive girls.
All right.
Kind of like makes the other girls even more attractive.
Sure.
It seems like it's, you hate to think that way, but you see it so often, it makes you wonder. He likes to send a round of drinks to the ugly girls in the group.
Yeah.
As as a way to make the pretty girls feel more insecure. Like, why would the ugly girls in my posse, who I deem ugly, get free drinks but not me?
Yeah. Well, now he has totally won me back over.
Yeah.
That is a great move.
I love
and
that
I respect
one.
The okay. hell out of that.
All right, because I like that power move.
Yeah, that's a great move.
Awesome.
Not only that, it's just nice and kind.
It's a nice self-esteem booster. They don't need to know the intention.
Plus, generally, it's going to make the other girls, they're so insecure at that point, they're going to be all over you.
Yeah.
But no, that's a great move, dude.
All right. All
good
right.
work, Munson. I like that one.
He redeemed himself.
He did. He totally redeemed himself.
Let's get out of here, Ted.
All right.
All right, let's get 10 to my theme song.
I'm too sexy for
Model
my
Steve.
Love.
Shut
too
up.
Sexy for my love.
Sure.
Love's gone.
Here we go. Let's get 10. Good luck to you.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
It's number 6 that I start feeling it.
Yeah, I think you could tell we haven't done those in a while.
Yeah, we both kind of have like a little bit of an extra grunt at 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10.
6. 7. I'm going to be sore tomorrow, dude. I can tell you right now. I'm going to have to hit the showers.
You might want to do legs tomorrow.
Yeah, leg day. Yeah, leg day.
Your arms are good. All right, let's get out of here.
Happy birthday, Steve. We never got to talk about it, but happy birthday, man. I love you. Can't wait for Saturday.
I'm looking forward to it. Saturday, over at the Mariners game, go to mariners.com/KISW to sit in our section, buy tickets.
Yeah.
Ted's going to be there. I'm going to be there. The whole BJ and Migs show is going to be there. I think Ryan Castle's going to be there. It's going to be a party.
Yeah. I'll be the drunk guy.
One of many.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I was trying to get Munson to go, but I don't think he's going to be able to make it because he's got stuff going on.
Yeah. He's still probably in the middle of a lane somewhere.
J-Mac will be there.
Nice.
Yeah. So we'll get the J-Mac. And it's also ladies' night at the Mariners game.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I mean, J-Mac might have to do some hunting.
That's right. And I'll be cheering you guys on, sending the drinks to the ugly ones.
Ladies.
All right. We'll see you next week. We'll be back. Thank you for listening to the Megacast.
Peace.